Good morning, everybody. How are y'all this morning? Good, good. So for weeks, I have felt an urging to get up here and share my story and have been seriously reluctant to do so, mostly because I felt like my story isn't finished or isn't to a point where I could get up in front and be worthy enough, I guess, to share it. And when I shared these feelings with people here in this family, I was assured that those were lies and that I shouldn't be listening to that, that I should get up here and be vulnerable. And so that's what I'm going to try to do this morning. I was born in April of 1981. To a very young mother at the time. My mom was 19 years old, and my father was about 6-7 years older than she was. My mother knew the Lord, but my father did not. And it was very important to her that we be raised in the church. And so I was dedicated as a baby at Wesley Evangelical Methodist Church in Hearst, Texas. And that's the church that my mom took us to when we were kids, my brother and I, who is about 3 years younger than I am. My father, I don't ever have memories of him going with us, so it was just my mom taking the two of us to church. I don't know if it was every Sunday, but it was definitely a consistent, regular occurrence in my life. As a young girl, music was very much a part of my life. My father loved music, all genres of music, classical music, new age, classic rock, all kinds, and so that was played in our home. My mother loved music as well. She has a beautiful singing voice, and I have memories during the holidays getting together with other parts of my family, some of which were not saved, which is interesting to me. My grandfather, who was not saved at the time, played the fiddle, and we would all get together on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they would sing old hymns, hymns about the blood of the Lord, of Christ, who died for us. They would sing bluegrass songs, and it was always a very, very special time, and I remember lyrics very easily, and so those became a part of me. When I started thinking about what the Lord wanted me to share through this, the word hope kept coming to my mind over and over and over. And I found it interesting as I was thinking back through childhood stories that there were influences where Jesus was there from people who were not saved. And I think that speaks volumes, that God can use anyone to bring truth to your life, even if they are not saved. My father's parents were not saved, and they would go to a Christian music store in Irving, and some of you may not be old enough to remember, but do you remember Psalty, the singing songbook? P-S-A-L-T-Y was how it was spelled, you know. But they would purchase cassette tapes, and they would play this in the van when we were with them over and over and over and over. And what was great about them was all of them were based on Scripture, all of the songs. And so I found myself memorizing Scripture, even though I didn't realize that's what I was doing. So it was really very interesting. One of them, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," Matthew 6:33, was one of the songs that was played and just embedded through my childhood. I attended Vacation Bible School with my cousins at their church, and we did Bible drills, and I would memorize the books of the Bible in order as I grew up. When I became, 10 or so, our church had a program called Jet Cadets, which is very similar to maybe our modern-day Awanas. And after school, I would go. Our church was right next door to my elementary school, and I would go and attend the Jet Cadets program there, where I memorized my first scripture that I knew I was memorizing, not just a song. and it was Philippians 3:14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. And that's stuck with me throughout. Around that same time, I decided that I wanted to accept Jesus into my heart, but I was terrified to do so. Like in many Methodist churches, they had an altar call during service, and I would want to go up and say the prayer that I was supposed to say, but I was fearful that everybody would see me, and I would be embarrassed, and it would just be horrible. And so, specifically, I was scared of being baptized because they had the big baptismal pool up at the front, and everybody would see you, and you would have to talk in front of people, and that was just, I was mortified. But I finally decided I was brave enough if I could just be sprinkled. That was one of the things that they would do, is they would just sprinkle if you didn't want to be immersed. And so that's what I did. My simple understanding at that time was, if you accepted Jesus into your heart and you were baptized, you were saved. End of story. I had no understanding of continued study or the importance of being in fellowship with other believers or the importance of having a personal relationship with God. And that's kind of where it was at that point. Around that same time in my life, as was often common practice, my father would take my brother and I to my grandparents' house in Dallas, his parents, and they would watch us during the day while he was at work. And one of these times, must have been 11 years old or so, he dropped us off at my grandparents' house. And when he picked us up, he told my brother and I that he had moved out while we were there. There was no warning, no nothing. And as we drove home, we tried to understand, my brother was 8 at the time, what that meant. Did that mean they were getting a divorce? Did that mean we wouldn't see my dad again? And really, there weren't a whole lot of answers. So when my mother got home, my father was outside waiting for her and told her that he had moved out. And that was how she found out. So things changed very rapidly for me at that point. The church that I had grown up attending around that same time closed their doors and merged with another church in Haltom City, which was quite a bit further of a drive than what we were used to making. And so we kind of fell out and really didn't have that fellowship and friendships that we were used to having around that time. So after the divorce was final, the next year in May, my mother started attending a mega church in North Richland Hills called Richland Hills Church of Christ. So it was different than what we were used to, definitely. We were used to a small, maybe just a little bit bigger than this congregation, but a small church. And so I was very overwhelmed. There weren't a lot of close friendships there, maybe some couple of kids from my high school that I knew, but other than that, there weren't very many people that I knew at all, and I was overwhelmed. But my mother started going to a singles program there and met her second husband, and his name was Jack. And so the divorce was final in May. She married Jack in November, so extremely fast. This man was a trained martial artist. He was a black belt in karate. He carried a gun. He was extremely abusive to my mother physically. And at that point, my brother and I saw those things. We saw him pushing her into a huge, huge stereo cabinet, and it shook. It was heavy, and it shook, and that was how hard he pushed her. So I became kind of the mother figure to my younger brother at that point, sheltering him from as much as I could and starting to keep my emotions really inside because I had to be strong for my brother. As is often common with abuse, my mother would say, "I'm leaving." She would put us in the car, and we were terrified, and she would say, "Oh, I forgot something. I have to go back inside." And so we would sit in the car for 30 minutes, however long it took, and she would come back out, and he had said something that made it all better. And so we would go back in the house and be terrified all over again. So at that time, my understanding was that church was no longer a safe place for me. The abuse had come into my life because of someone she met in the church, and so I didn't lean into anyone there. I didn't tell anyone what was happening in our home, not even my father. So I just continued to internalize that and to pretend like everything was okay to everyone else around me. That went on for about a year when my mother finally got enough courage to not go back in when we were taken out to the car one of those times. We went to a house from someone that was in the church that we were going to, a stranger to me, really. We stayed with them a couple of nights, and we were basically on the run from this man for the next 2 weeks while my mother tried to get a restraining order against him and get us to a place where we could go back home. He had refused to move out. He had to be physically evicted by a sheriff. And so I was just terrified, really. My brother and I both were. Other influences in my life at that time, I just reacted by plunging myself into extracurricular activities. I was signed up for everything I could possibly sign up for that would keep me out of the house. I was in band, I was in choir, I was in pep club, I was in National Junior Honor Society, I was in any club that I could be in that would keep me away from home and busy. After my mom got enough courage to leave her second husband, there really wasn't much more church going for us after that. Life kind of took over, and the influences that I had from a Christian perspective at that time were few and far between. I had an aunt who was very much a believer and would gift me a Bible and try her best to get those things into my life, but it didn't really happen with any real success. When I was about 14 years old, my mother met her third husband, and his name is Keith, and I saw in him some of those same characteristics as Jack, and so I decided at that point it was time for me to move in with my father. And that's what I did. My brother followed 6 months later. So at that point, my father is not saved, and so there was zero influence in my life from a Christian perspective. I graduated high school, and I decided that I wanted to major in vocal performance, and so I went off to UNT, the University of North Texas, and I moved in with, at that time, my stepfather's mother. And she was a very Christian woman, and she tried to get me to be active in the Christian Student Union. She would gift me Christian worship CDs, which I loved, Jars of Clay specifically. But I continued to try to keep myself busy and ignore the trauma that I had experienced in my life. And so in the summers when I would come home from college, I would audition for musicals. And at the time, in ULIS, there was a really great musical program that you could audition for and rehearse through the entire summer and then put on a series of performances. And at that point, I was, 18, 19 years old and had kind of an on-and-off boyfriend. At the time, we were off. And I met someone in the musical that I thought was pretty cool. Unfortunately, he took advantage of me in the worst way imaginable. And that was just one more kind of candle on the cake at that point. I became so withdrawn and became just an expert at faking it in front of everybody. I could put on a smile and nobody would know. So went off to college after that. I moved to Huntsville and went to Sam Houston State University. The way that I dealt with the trauma at that point in my life was I decided I was going to major in criminal justice and minor in victim studies and learn everything I possibly could about what had happened to me and how I was reacting to it. So I responded with education when I really should have been responding with going to the Lord for healing. So I just kept putting that off. And that's what I did. In college, I met a young man named John and fell in love. We decided we were going to get married. There was still no real coming back to Christ at that point. I hadn't been to church consistently in all of my adult life. My new husband was Catholic, and he was not practicing either. And so our marriage was very much just devoid of any influence of the Lord in it. And as expected, we began to drift apart. He turned to partying, and I felt very alone. And we ended up going through a divorce. At that point, Dustin came into my life. And we had decided early on that no more, that it was time to come back and to fall before our knees in front of God and say, look at everything that we've done and beg for forgiveness and get right, basically. At his encouragement, I went through some Christian counseling to try to deal with some of the hurt that had been in my life. And for the first time in my life, I started seeking scripture for comfort. One of those is 1 Peter 5:10. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, he himself will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. That one just speaks volumes for me. I think that there is hope for all of us for healing. And I think that when we humble ourselves and come before the Lord, that he puts people in our path. He puts scripture in our path. He gives comfort. So as I said earlier, when I was preparing for this, the word hope kept coming up over and over. And last night, I woke up, and one of the worship songs was in my head. It's by 10th Avenue North. Maybe some of you know it. I have this hope. And the words are, I have this hope in the depth of my soul. Through the flood and the fire, you're with me, and you won't let go. And it's based on this scripture in Isaiah, so I'm going to read it. It's Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. And it says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. In the flames, and the flames will not set you ablaze. I think as I think back through my testimony, what I see is that Jesus was there even through the times that I didn't see him there. There were people placed in my life to try to wound me back. And it was never promised that I wouldn't go through any of those hard things. But in the scripture here, it tells me that he's going to be with me as I do.